97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Monday afternoon, the whole team is together. We were not together on Friday. Sue and I were both off. We're back at it. Fred is here. He's glad to have us back, I think.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Glad to have us
back.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know that he said that, actually.
Yeah, I'm making a bit of an assumption there.
You're right.
You know, we have Sue's News coming up here. I have some amazing Bill Maher audio that you're going to want to hear, I promise. It's really one of the best Bill Maher monologues I've heard in a long time. We're gonna it's like 9 minutes, and I'm gonna call it down to like 3.5, and it's gonna be brilliant. You're gonna really enjoy that. And then we have Cusimano coming up a little later this afternoon as well. Andy Puzder in the next hour talking about the economy, and former Senator Lamping. Now, Sue, 10 years ago, in 2014, it was the summer of 2014 that my wife and I discovered that we were gonna have a baby, which was unplanned, as you might remember. And the quick story for people is my wife was bit by our neighbor's dog at the time and went to urgent care. Wasn't super serious, went to urgent care. The dog was friendly, just got a little excited, and was put on antibiotics. And then 6 weeks after that, it was July, it was very hot. She went for a run on this particular day. She came back, her boobs were big, and I said, "Are you pregnant?" And she said, "Well, I certainly hope not." And we went into total lockdown and denial, and then we welcomed, you know, what was going to happen. Now that little miracle is 9.5 years old.
Yeah.
But I bring that up because the summer of 2014 was the summer that I was starting to kick off a trip with listeners to go to Greece. And we were going to do that in the summer of 2025. This is how we told
you
my
mean
mom and dad.
15 at the time?
I'm sorry, yeah, 2015. Yeah. So we go in 2014 to my mom and dad's house to tell them what is happening. And they were going to go to Greece with us. And we said, well, and I kind of, you know, phrased it that way. Well, I don't know if we can get a babysitter, you know, for 2 weeks in Greece. And that's sort of how we broke the news.
How cute.
So I've been wanting to go to Greece for all these years. That was a trip that didn't happen. And this afternoon, we're going to make it happen. We're going to kick it off in April of last year, in 2023. I reconnected with my friend Mike Kenny. Mike took a group of listeners in 2011 with me to Italy. And we had a great time. It was the year that the Cardinals won the World Series. It was so much fun. We got back right when the Brewers were taking on the Cardinals. And everyone had it. In fact, we were with a bunch of people from Wisconsin, which was very unique because they had the Brewers, you know, we had fans of the Brewers, fans of the Cardinals, and we were all on the same bus giving each other trouble and stuff. But what really jumped and popped for me was this guy, Mike Kenny, because I had not had him as a tour guide before. He was working for a company called Holiday Vacations. He broke off on his own, and then for many years, he's like, "Mark, let's do a trip together, let's do a trip." And finally, I said, "Yeah, let's go to Spain. I want to go back to Spain." I had been there in 1983. Well, this is the next trip we're rolling out.
If you go that to is exciting.
DefineDestinations.com, this will be, and by the way, if you're interested, I'm going to want you to jump on this relatively quickly because this is not a big group that we're going to take along. The ship itself has 197 passengers, so under 200. This is not a big cruise ship. You start in Athens. There's a couple of nights there, and then you take this very, very small luxury liner across, you know, to visit the Greek islands. And the ship looks amazing. If you go to DefineDestinations.com, you can pull up the trip. I'll put this up on Twitter also. Mike's email address is up there, the phone number. He's in Italy right now because I was texting with him earlier, so he's probably getting ready to go to sleep in Rome right now. But we put this trip together, 7 nights aboard this cruise. It's like a 10-day trip. Day one, you go to Athens. We're going to fly right here out of St. Louis, and I think we go on Lufthansa again. I think that's how he's got the airfare arranged. And then we go over to Athens from there. So you got a couple of days in Athens, then through the Argolis region. You go through, and some of these things I can't pronounce at this point.
You go to Santiago with the White Houses.
Here. You go to Syros. You got to Amorgos.
You
go to Rhodes.
Yeah.
You go to Santorini. Is that
that's
it?
That's it. I'm sorry. I can't say the right thing.
But see, I'm not good at
this
either.
Look how beautiful that is.
It says whitewashed in wonder.
Oh, that's the one.
That is day 9, May 5th. And by the way, I've already realized that I'm a huge winner by going on this trip because this trip will take me away from a trip to Louisville, Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby, which absolutely assures that I'm not going to blow a bunch of money.
How does
Louisville.
That absolutely? You will somehow figure out a way.
You might be right about that.
Yeah, I am right.
So this will be the 27th of April through the first week of May in the spring. It's a beautiful time. We come back on May 7th. The ship looks great. Mike is an astoundingly good tour guide. He really is. We had so much fun in Barcelona and Madrid, and maybe we can get some of the folks. In fact, I do have some of my friends. You know, my friend Rick from Vegas?
Yep.
He's in. My friends Fitz and Karen, and they went on the Spain trip. I think they're in.
Uncle Bob may go.
We'll Uncle see. Bob? That's
yes.
what, so explain Uncle Bob. This is hilarious.
Yeah, Uncle Bob is Michael's faux uncle, you know, good friends of the family type of deal. And Uncle Bob went on the last trip, unbeknownst to me, but he said he had a great time.
There was this awesome guy who was on the trip to Spain by himself, Bob.
Yeah.
And he was cool to hang out with. And then all of a sudden, he's at one of our fish fry events or something yeah. like that. And I'm like, wait a second, that's the guy that went to Spain with me. And Sue's related to him
yeah.
in a weird way.
Isn't that cute?
That's defined wild. Destinations. You can always email me here at the station or hit me up on Twitter if you want details. This is going to be a fun trip. And it's very exclusive. So it's not like we're taking, you know, 40 listeners. I think we've got maybe 15 couples top.
Oh, wow.
And I already have like three of those filled.
Okay.
So, you know, it's going to be a smaller, very unique trip. DefinedDestinations.com. We'll start talking about more here in the coming weeks.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to start off with on this day in history for Fred, now that I know Sherlock Holmes is his other thing. Yeah. Fred, on this day in history, 132 years ago in 1892, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes was first published. It was the first collection of stories that Arthur Conan Doyle had been publishing in magazines in the previous 5 years. Isn't
that
cool?
That's really cool.
And that's 132 years ago today. Okay, I did not remember this story. 112 years ago today, in 1912, Theodore Roosevelt was shot in the chest in Milwaukee while campaigning for the presidency. Fortunately, the speech in his breast pocket that the men hair absorbed most of the bullet's impact, so he was able to go ahead with his scheduled appearance.
See?
What?
That was way before teleprompters.
It was.
If there was a teleprompter, he could have been shot and killed.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
That is crazy, though.
I know. I didn't know it either. Oh, I should have had Ethan pull this. But on this day in history, 39 years ago in 1985 was when Ozzy hit his go crazy. It's the left-handed home run in Game 5 of the NLC series, and the Cards won the game. That was 39 years ago. I remember that so well. It's frightening.
I hosted Wiggins America today for the Annie Fry Show.
Yes.
And I played that for
did
the,
you? Oh, I love
the,
it. So it's in there somewhere. Yeah, just drop
here.
The ball.
Let me ask a question just briefly here. If Ethan's our new producer, right? Whose show do you produce? This one or the previous one?
That's a good question.
Are you working for this show or the other show?
That's a question.
And you brought
for the
audio
bosses.
To that show, not to this show.
That's a question for the bosses.
I'm just saying, priorities here. We're going to have some education.
Mom and Dad are fighting.
Google Trends. I do have some from this. Because 30 years ago today in 1994, I can't believe it's been 30 years since this movie debuted, if you can believe that. Just
well,
see if you can guess what this is, Fred.
I don't know that I know which. Oh, I do know this.
Yes.
Here we go.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, man, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what the quarter pounder is.
What do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
That is so much fun.
Isn't it?
It is.
I actually had sent, there was a piece that was in Variety today about the 30th year anniversary, and I sent that to Fred because right. I thought we might have a fun conversation with my friend Dan Buffa, who's a film critic here. He's been a guest on the show many times. But that, you know, that's a, where are those movies? Where are the pulp fictions of the modern era? And I'm a huge fan of Quentin and that film. So we're going to spend some time maybe on this Friday looking back at that anniversary.
There were parts of that movie that I could not watch.
It's tough.
But
it's violent.
The parts that you could watch were awesome. Okay, Google Trends. All right, Google Trends released their annual collection of the top trending searches for this year's Halloween season. You know, they put out the other day what they guessed would be number one. Okay, well, that's not what happened. Here are the actual top six things that people are Googling. Number six would be Envy, Mark from Inside Out. Pomni from Amazing Digital Circus. What is that? Ethan, what is that? Do
just
you know?
Just because I'm the young one here doesn't mean that I know.
Yeah, good answer.
Right?
I don't know what that is.
Do you know what
I
that is?
I don't know. Ethan would know for one of his other shows.
Oh, that is.
Yeah, not
thank
here.
You, Fred.
That's
taking
right.
a shot. Good,
that's right.
Good job, Fred. That's why he's the Hall of Famer.
Oh, my gosh. Dolores from Beetlejuice. Catnap from the horror video game Poppy Playtime, but here's my favorite. Ray Gun. People want to go as the Australian breakdancer extraordinaire. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm actually a little surprised that we have not seen Ray Gun in like an ad or something like
that.
And I think she is now rated the number one in the world.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, she should be.
What do you mean the number one?
Number one breaker.
Well, that makes no sense.
She's ranked number one?
Yeah. What,
how could that be?
I feel like she should be taking advantage more so of how bad everyone thinks she is.
Right.
Yeah. Have fun with it.
Too. Yeah.
Embrace it. And number one is Shrunken Head Bob from Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And I've never seen it, so I have no idea what that means.
Say, I don't know if I knew more than one of those.
Well, we all know Ray Gun, so go with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, SpaceX. I tried to get you guys to watch.
Can I just pause it? I'm just thinking about this because I'm an adult, so I don't dress up for Halloween. However, if you're looking for a unique, you know, Halloween for a party, Halloween costume, Ray Gun would be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yes.
You wear some big white baggy pants, and I think that's a good
dance
costume.
Dance poorly.
Yes.
It's
sorry,
easy.
I had to make that recommendation to the audience.
Very simple.
That's fair. SpaceX was testing the rocket that Elon Musk wants to use to send people. First of all, he's going to send them back to the moon and then on to Mars. I mean, he is Elon Musk. And they tested this thing yesterday morning in South Texas. They launched an empty rocket for testing purposes. And the first, not yesterday, but a couple days before, in weeks past, four of them had not made it. So this was a big test. But for this one, SpaceX pulled off its giant chopsticks idea, and they caught their massive rocket booster in midair using these huge metal arms attached to a launch tower. It is really amazing to see. Fred watched it.
Oh, yeah.
I was pretty impressed. I didn't even know what I was watching, honestly. Yeah. I didn't know what I was watching this morning. I saw them play the clip, and I thought, you know what? That is pretty cool.
When I saw it the first time, I thought, oh, they're just playing the tape in reverse.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how amazing it is.
Thank you for saying that, Fred. Yeah. Because I didn't have the audio up when I was watching this morning. I'm like, what in the world is that? But that's pretty impressive.
I mean, to see that booster come back out of the sky and the thing go,
It's like a, I don't know how much that thing weighs, but think of a drone, trying to land a drone that weighs 100 million pounds or whatever it is, right?
Back on the thing. It's almost like a giant Roomba, only better. What?
Two things. One, I loved your sound effect there, the wah for them closing. That was great. Also, what a week Elon Musk has had, right? I mean, what he announces, the Tesla buses and vans. Now he's throwing stuff out there about creating robots.
Yes.
He's landing rockets. He's all over the place.
Here's a guy that talks about why it's so important. Jason Sebastian with SpaceX.
The reusability is not to be underemphasized. It's so huge. The big economic part of this whole rocket are the engines, and the ability to bring those back down to Earth and for them to not have gone through a huge cycle of burn and wear. And to be able to reuse them. I'm not sure if they'll reuse these actual engines. This was the first test, but that ability to do that is incredible economically and in terms of getting us to the next frontier.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, that was crazy to watch. You could just look it up and watch it, and it's just nuts. It just doesn't seem like it would be possible. All right, Concert for Carolina is a benefit show that Luke Combs and Eric Church, they're putting it on. They've sold 75,000 tickets in less than 7 hours. Wow. And some people even paid upwards of $1,600 each. Now, that's really good news for the people in North Carolina that were hurt by Hurricane Helene. And the show is actually on Saturday, October the 26th. They're going to have James Taylor make an appearance, Keith Urban, I was calling Urban, Bailey Zimmerman, and Sheryl Crow. So good for somebody for going out to do something for North Carolina.
Is this going to be in North Carolina as well?
That I don't know. Sue's News does not get down to the nitty-gritty. And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Okay, I did not know this either. Originally, Steven Spielberg was developing Cape Fear, and Martin Scorsese was developing Schindler's List. Neither of them were into their own projects, so they decided to trade, and that's what happened.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, that makes you kind of, I'm just kind of thinking about the implications if things would have worked in a different direction. You would have had, you know, I've mentioned this before. You can't do this, but as an experiment, it would be really cool to see, you know, what Martin Scorsese's version of that movie
would
be.
But
you can't spend $100 million just to compare and contrast, but that's fascinating. Uh-huh. It really is. Was that it?
That's it.
That is our random fact. Good job, Sue. Thank you very much. I have some amazing I mean, this is, I tweeted this out yesterday. I said it's must-see TV. It really is. I'm a Bill Maher fan. The Reardon Roundtable was actually modeled after Politically Incorrect, which was a show that he did in the late 80s. And this monologue on Israel and Chapel Roan is one of the best I've ever heard from Bill Maher. I'm going to cull it down coming up. Well, it is a manic Monday. I'm actually asking, I can't even believe, I don't even know myself anymore. I'm sitting in the studio asking Sue Thomas questions about my mums that I bought last week and whether I need to protect them tonight.
I think
because,
that's a good sign.
Well, it's supposed to be the low 30s overnight. So I thought I saw 31. I just checked the weather app and it's always right, right?
Yeah.
It says 34 for the next two mornings, 59 for the high tomorrow. I guess tonight's low is 44, but Tuesday into Wednesday, 34, Wednesday into Thursday, 34, and 37 on Thursday into Friday. So it's going to be a little chilly. We got temperatures in the 70s for later in the week. This is fall. It's perfect fall weather. Today is a beautiful, beautiful day. So yesterday I was getting a little bit bored with the afternoon football games. I don't dabble in politics until usually Monday morning when it's time to start thinking about the show. I like to enjoy my weekends, but I came across something from Bill Maher and his show. He does a segment called New Rules that really I couldn't turn away from. And I would encourage those of you, especially if you have you know, young kids in the house or grandkids that are Gen Z and, you know, pro-Hamas protesters, etc., to listen to what Bill has to say in this segment. And I thought it was really effective. So I couldn't turn away. It runs about 9 minutes. We're going to make it a little bit shorter here this afternoon so you can hear it. And hopefully it'll inspire you to go listen to the whole segment. Now, there's a singer out there by the name of Chapel Roan, who's kind of taken off a little bit and caught me off guard. I like to follow new music, but she's had a couple of hits and either was on SNL as a musical guest or is going to be and has become somewhat of a little phenom, right? Here's one of her songs. I like this one here. This is one of the first songs. Kind of a naughty, sexually theme song, though, as many of her songs are, and that kind of plays here in what Bill Maher has to say about Chapel Roan. So he does his segment the other night, and he wants to explain to people who the Pink Pony Club artist is. That's Chapel Roan. And he starts by saying, look, that's not the name. Chapel Roan is not the name of one of Trump's golf courses.
And finally, new rule. To mark the October 7th anniversary, we must launch a campaign to educate young Americans about the Middle East. And the way I'd like to begin that process is by addressing an open letter to Chapel Roan. Now, to those viewers who aren't watching this while also looking at their phones, let me explain.
I thought that was a funny line. So he gives the line about the Trump golf course.
He's actually a great new recording artist who, like a Hezbollah pager, is really blowing up.
Ouch. Ouch.
In just a few months, she went from a struggling artist to getting 3 billion plays on Spotify, netting her almost 11 cents.
Kind of true, right?
But here's what caught my eye. She seems like a Gen Zer who can be reached because I saw her on TMZ say,
it's like, obviously, f*** the policies of the right, but also f*** some of the policies on the left.
That sounds like something I would say.
That's kind of how he starts the segment. He, you know, and Bill always makes a little fun. And one of the things that's interesting about his segments is, and maybe we try to achieve some of this on this show as well, is he does use sharp wit and humor to make his point. And what happens with the audience that he has, because it's a studio audience, they're not sure sometimes on whether they should laugh or cheer or where he's going with some of this. But he was very pointed with Chapel.
She also said, I think it's important that people use critical thinking. I think it's important for me to question myself, question my algorithm, question, is some person that tweeted something about someone else even true? Preach, queer ally, preach. But then we get to Israel. And Chapel, this is where we must put to the test your pledge to use critical thinking and to question whether what you're reading on social media is true, because it isn't. There's a whole history of the Middle East that you and your fans aren't hearing about. So why don't you let me be your spirit guide through this?
So, you know, he started off having a little fun there, but he's very serious about what he is about to preach to his queer ally, Chapel Roan, in this segment of his show the other night.
I know you're moved by what you see on there. We all are, the dead Palestinian bodies. But it's odd that your generation didn't seem nearly as moved by the Jewish bodies on October 7th. You killed at Coachella this year, but when Hamas kills at a music festival, it's a whole other thing. Doesn't the sight of so many young women raped at a music festival make it a little personal?
So that's a very good question. She's at Coachella and some of these other music festivals doing her thing, talking about, you know, it's she's gay and her music is very lesbian themed, if you will, which is fine if that's what you want to do. But he makes some great points along those lines here in a second as well. But she
Gen Z hearts are hardened.
Let me go back to that.
At a music festival, make it a little personal.
Here we go.
My guess is that Gen Z hearts are hardened by the propaganda you see on TikTok, which likes to call the Jews colonizers. But colonizers are intruders who have no history in an area, like when Spain conquered the Mayans or when your mom took over Facebook.
No, he's always got to try to make a little fun there. But boy, does he give a great history lesson here on the Middle East.
When the Dutch took over South Africa, they had no history to the land. They just wanted it. But Israel is the Jews' homeland, and Jews have always lived there. I cap you not.
I didn't get the reference there, Sue. Did you get the reference
nope.
there? Okay. So some of these things are going to elude us just a little bit with Bill. There must have been some pop culture reference, maybe that's related to Chapel. So I lost that one.
You can look it up. It's in this book called The Bible, which is horribly wrong about sex ed, slavery, science, and cooking. But the archaeology checks out. It says the Jews built a temple with a really big wall 7 centuries before Muhammad or Islam ever existed, and sure as shit, you can still go there and touch it. Calling Jews colonizers in Israel is like calling Native Americans colonizers here. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's on Indigenous Peoples Day that he says that. Wait, Ethan tried to offer us an example of what that means. What does it
mean? The word cap is meant to brag or exaggerate, so I... Do not exaggerate.
Okay, but it's something that the kids are saying?
Oh, the kids are saying.
Okay, that's why he was doing that. Bill's not a fan of religion. He did a documentary about organized religion, so that's sort of where the Bible comment came from. But he was very effective in explaining to Chapel Roan. I would be very curious to see if Chapel Roan would take time to watch this, because it is harsh.
And there was never any Arab country called Palestine. It was an orphan province. And if you ask people what they thought about it back then, they'd say it gave them the ick. But after World War II, and after the Jews were very nearly wiped out by an actual attempted genocide, they decided it was time for their historic homeland to be an actual country, so that for once they could defend themselves. And the UN, we like them, right? Yeah, they agreed and voted a country for each of the indigenous peoples. One side agreed to that. But the Arabs had a slightly different proposal. They said, how about we keep it all and wipe you out?
Yeah, well, why don't we just eliminate the Jews, right? Now, his line about every once in a while, Bill and I are going to not agree, and he seems to think that people should like the UN. I'm not as big a fan as the UN, so we'll agree to disagree on that point.
Chapel, if you think it was repressive growing up queer in the Midwest, try the Mideast.
Here you go.
You're a female drag queen, and you sing, I f***ed you in the bathroom when we went to dinner, your parents at the table. Yeah, that wouldn't fly in Gaza, although you would straight off a roof. The same goes for knee-deep on the passenger seat and you're eating me out. Yeah, my guess is the morality police would figure out that one's not about the drive-thru.
So that's what's so ironic about some of the young people that think that Israel's the bad guy and that Hamas and the Palestinians are the good guy in all of this, because they haven't taken the time to learn the history. They haven't taken the time to think about the irony of some of the things and the behavior that they have while criticizing Israel, Chapel Roan, which is what Bill is trying to say here.
Chapel, you're not wrong that oppression is bad, or that Palestinian and many other Muslim populations are oppressed and deserve to be freed. You just have it completely ass backwards as to who is doing the oppressing. Hamas is a terrorist mafia that took over Gaza. The Revolutionary Guard is a terrorist mafia that took over Iran. ISIS is a terrorist mafia that took over Iraq. The Taliban is a terrorist mafia that took over Afghanistan. These are the oppressors, And when you make it all about Israel, you take the pressure off of them. You enable them. The Iranian regime has killed 600 protesters after a 22-year-old woman died in police custody following her arrest for the crime of wearing her head covering incorrectly.
Now, you haven't heard the young people protesting that one, have you? No, you haven't, right?
Just to be clear, that's your team. Iran is who sponsors Hamas and Hezbollah. Are you sure this is who you want to throw down with? Meryl Streep spoke at the UN recently and said this about the Taliban, who are only slightly more conservative than your heroes in Hamas. She said, today in Kabul, a female cat has more freedoms than a woman. A cat may go sit on her front stoop and feel the sun on her face. She may chase a squirrel into the park. A squirrel has more rights than a girl in Afghanistan today. A bird may sing in Kabul, but a girl may not. You're a singer, and you're advocating for a place and a culture you would never want to live under. Gender may not be binary, but right and wrong kind of is.
Well, gender is binary, too, but I think you understand Bill's point. Now, look, I don't typically like to play that much audio from a segment, but I thought it was so good, and I would wonder how many people would take the time to listen to it. I put it up on Twitter. Share that with your friends. That was so good, so effective. But wouldn't it be interesting to hear from Chapel Rowan and some of these other people that think that they know what they're talking about because they have been influenced by some of the nonsense and the propaganda on TikTok? I'd love to, you know, it would be, and this will never happen, but it would be interesting to see if someone would step up and say, you know what, I didn't know that. Thank you, Bill Maher, for educating me. I'm guessing it won't happen with Chapel Rowan and her audience, but that was really good from Bill Maher. It would have been audio cut of the day, but I got the SNL stuff for an hour from now, and that's really good, too. We're coming back with Cusimano on this Monday afternoon. Andy Puzder in the next hour. Talk a little bit about inflation and the economy. He's working on a new book right now, former Senator Lamping as well, and an audio cut of the day right now, Frank Cusimano on a Monday afternoon. Damn, Jack Flaherty last night did pretty well for those L.A. Dodgers, didn't he? Although they're not faring very well this afternoon, Frank.
No, this series has no drama at all. Last night it was 9-0. Today it's 6-0 Mets. But yeah, you're right. Flaherty was out of sight, a two-hitter for 7 innings. His mom was in the stands. She tweeted out a photo of Jack as like a 12-year-old in a Dodger uniform. You know, I once got in trouble because I said that, you know, Flaherty, when it's at the end of his Cardinal contract, you know he wants to go back to L.A. And then he kind of like confronted me and somebody in the organization said, what are you saying that for? Well, where is he pitching now and where is he going to sign in the offseason? He's going to end up in L.A.
Did that really happen where you got scolded for that? That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't.
No, I get it. By the way, Max Muncy hit a home run, so it's 6-1. The other series starts tonight, though, right?
Yes, Guardians and Yankees. I think the Yankees had too much firepower, but Cleveland's been a great story all season long. Should be a fun series.
All right, I'm going to say go Tribe on that one. How about the Tigers? They get back on track, although they weren't playing a very good team. But that's what you needed in Massachusetts over the weekend, Frank, for Mizzou to get back on track. Now, you got Auburn coming in this weekend for homecoming.
Yeah, it was interesting because Coach Drink told the team before the game, this is the smallest crowd that any Mizzou team has played in front of, I think he said, since 1967. There were about 8,000. I talked to Brady Cook last night. He felt it was like a Chaminade CBC high school game, and there wasn't any problem in getting in the signals. I thought the takeaway from that game was what happened late. Missouri has a weapon. His name is Brett Norfley. He is a 6'7", 255-pound tight end. He's an unbelievable athlete. He could be a Division I baseball player. I saw him hit towering home runs at Francis Howell. They got him involved. Now, he was banged up all summer. He got injured the first game. He hasn't been healthy. Now he is. They've been putting in a lot more stuff for him. Keep an eye on Brett Norfleet there, towering tight end.
Is Luther, did he get hurt, some shoulder injury or what?
He did. He took a real bad collision in the third quarter, came down hard on his shoulder. His dad told me before the game ended, and his dad has it in with the assistant coach or the trainer, that he's going to be fine. Drink will make it official tomorrow. And Brady seemed to think that he was going to be all right. I don't think it's serious.
You know, I stumbled into that Illinois-Purdue game late on Saturday, and holy moly, that was a thriller, right? And then Purdue decides it's overtime. Purdue scores. Illinois scores. They go up. I think it was 50-43. Purdue scores 50-49. They go for two, which you often do if you're on the road. That's sort of the rule. Didn't work out for him. Illinois escapes with a victory.
Yeah, they have quietly been Well, I wouldn't say quietly because their games have been so exciting, but they have snuck up on everybody. I mean, they're up to number 22 in the country in the AP poll. So that's awesome to see. Brett Bielema won a ton of games at Wisconsin, didn't win as many at Arkansas, but he's a heck of a coach.
Yeah, you know, I have to give them their due because I've watched them play a couple of times this season, and they're a really good team. Now, Mizzou in the rankings, they move up just a little bit. They have Auburn this weekend. They're only, I think, 6.5-point favorites, but that is a game that you don't want to stumble on coming into this weekend because you got more important games down the road with Tuscaloosa just around the corner in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't think Auburn's real good. I mean, they played some teams close, but they are 2-4. You must win this homecoming game on Saturday morning at 11 a.m., which I plan on attending. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get up. It doesn't help that it's like an early game because I like going to the parade and stuff like that, but the parade has got to be like 7:30 in the morning or something ridiculous like that. But I'm going to try to make it up there. We'll see what the weather does for this weekend, Frank.
Yep, and then tomorrow night, the Blues and the home opener. I understand the video they're going to play before the game, if you're going to the game, is just like heart-stopping, emotional. Chris Zimmerman said it actually made him cry. Now, the Blues know how to put together a presentation. They know how to stage big events, and the home opener is a big one. And there's got to be some momentum, too, because you have three games out west, and they staged three magnificent comebacks. They come back with 4 points. They almost tied Vegas in Vegas, but like most people who go to Las Vegas, they come home empty in terms of points. But I'll take the 4 points in a three-game span.
Hey, by the way, College Hoops is about to start. They had the new poll that came out today. Not a real surprise. KU was picked number one. But look at Alabama. All of a sudden, they're a basketball school as well. They were number two.
And, you know, there is a little bit of an Alabama connection with St. Louis University. Josh Schertz and Nate Oates, the head coach at Alabama, are extremely close, and they exchange practice video almost like every other day because Oates subscribes to the same theory that Schertz does. Listen closely. It's only going to be about making threes and dunks and layups. They will not allow twos to be shot for the most part. And like a perfect game is like 33 shot and, you know, 20 dunks and layups. And those two are both on the same wavelength. And Oates has done an incredible job at Alabama.
That is really interesting. Mizzou, of course, does not even come close to get any votes in the top 25. However, having said that, I think this is a team that will be in the top 25 by the beginning of next year in January.
That's a bold prediction for a team that didn't win a game in 2024. But I will agree with you. The talent level is really good, and I think they're going to be fine. They've lightened up the schedule a little bit. They got some tough games, but I would not be surprised if they have a pretty good record heading into the conference
Look,
season.
You got your peeps and sources in Columbia. I got my own. I'm hearing really good things from Dennis Gates and the crew as they start to practice. So I'm going to keep my hopes up. Frank, have a great weekend. We'll talk on Friday.
All right.
Get more at 971talk.com.